is that going to help?
Well, I think if the states and localities, especially the states and localities, are fairly competent to come along, I think they would send them, I think, on this issue.
Well, that's an additional lag. It's an immediate outlay as far as.
To make it clear, it was matter, but, but as soon as they're confident they're going to get it. Now, the committee is holding hearings now, is that correct?
Yes.
Ways and means, yes. What's your estimate, it is going to pass, what you think, yes? What's your, about when, March? But they might get it by.
They might get it by March. This will come out ways and means for us.
I can't prove this, because for the number of money, my guess, whatever it's worth is, that is not going to do anything this year. Just come to that.
Well, let's see, they may just get on their horses hard here, because the heat on them is enormous. If they get done in March.
Well, because of the lag of legislation, I'm going to be in lag and tilting up at the state level, because that will be going into this main. It's family, I don't know, the effect, I think, will be mainly the one that hurt anything through psychology.
Right.
Knowing that this money is coming along, and they can be bolder in their own.
Yeah, they won't fire policemen and a few other things, otherwise it won't happen.
One other attack being made on the budget is that we have shifted money from fiscal 73 to fiscal 72, and thereby distorted the extent of stimulation in fiscal 72, and.
Yeah.
Or dampened the amount in 73. And what we have said on that is, that indeed we have shifted. Where we could find construction projects that could be speeded up, we speeded them up. We pointed out that we have moved, some welfare payments to the state, across the line of the fiscal year, about $1 billion worth. For the sake of helping the states with their fiscal problems, anticipating the revenue sharing would come in and would take that up. And so that's a move for it in that direction. So we've been candid about what happened. Why did this kind of challenges come along?
That's not quite, that's not all of the common or criticism.
They mean that, they mean something more. Namely, that you have an amount of shifting on the books which simply cannot and will not take place physically. Therefore, the rate of expenditure during the year will be more even than the budget suggests. Now, I think the way, and I think that's true, Mark, maybe. Now, the way I would handle that, that's being said all over, is simply to deny it. But not belligerently, because if it's more even, it's not a bad thing.
Well, I think there's another thing about that, where part of the economic effect of not only the spending, but the contract.
we control the reserves.
And the people decide, people make the decisions, they'll keep their money in a checking account, then it counts in that one. Or they'll put it in an interest-bearing account at a commercial bank or Westendale, you see, and doesn't count in that one. And we can't decide that. Now, let me just show you the, I don't mean to say this frozen, we don't get too much of a shit in the house. But they're just a kind of life. You see, the N1 looks sick in the fourth quarter. A rate of increase of 1.1%. Terrible. You see? Then you look at N2, and the rate of increase is 8%. Now, if you look at time and savings deposits, other than the large certificates of deposits, and the rate of increase is 15%. And people are deciding, never mind what reasons for the moment, we can only speculate about that, people are deciding to hold their liquid assets, not in the form of cash so much, but in the form of interest-bearing deposits. Well, we're pumping reserves into the commercial banks this month. This month, we're pumping in reserves at an annual rate of 25% plus. And the bankers are going wild. Very, very critical of what we're doing. Irresponsible and whatnot. They gave me hell the other day, but I reciprocated, sure. They're a suffragette much. Same talk. What's that name talk? That's Well, this brother, on the management side, I've got the new
white lawyers that are in touch with their
school. Of course. On the management side, I've got the New York Bank, which is less than fully cooperative, and I'm almost on the point of taking over the New York Bank and running that operation myself. The manager is down at least once a week. Well, all I can tell you is from doing all I can. But Herb, when he criticizes, and I can't just miss his criticism, he's not satisfied. I'm not either.
That would be really a miraculous step if the management of the account moved to Washington.
You what?
If the management of the other part of the
account. Well, you know, this is a very difficult problem. But you see, one of the difficulties is we have a private public system. And let me show the implications of it. And why this is a difficult achievement. At the Federal Reserve, the chairman is 42,500. Chairman, Mr. President, I think you know is not complaining. I'm describing that. I don't want to change. Not for me ever. The
auto sayer.
No, I say that.
Where do we get this thing?
The other board members get 40, staff is adjusted to that, you see. And they go up pretty high, higher than other civil servants do, but through that ceiling. Go to New York Bank, the president, who's under my control, he gets 90. The manager of the desk, the vice president, gets 75. The fellow who runs the desk gets 55 or 60. Now, if I move him to, how can I move him?
Okay. Don't move him. Change the system.
What's that?
Just move the system. Don't move him.
Yeah.
You really ought to take over that area of the operation.
He probably complains that he had a lot more. I'll tell you that I want more.
The tail should wag the dog, Dad.
I don't know. It's not wagging the dog. John. law, unfortunately.
At the UN, I'll check to see whether that thing's about. You see, that job, the one job, is not one that we can claim for trying to keep it. A new law wants to give somebody else from another country. But I'm going to make another check. I ask you to help, if you will. Would you mind calling Bill Rush? And tell him that it's of very great importance to this, to us, to you speaking, you know, the non-financial. And we've got a very, the river taken ambassadorship. No, they didn't do anything he liked, that's a permanent shot, that's
the point. You know, there's enough pressing his attention.
Well, you see, the difficulty is, that's different, but I see what you, would you call Bill? Tell him, look, we've got to have him the UN job. All right, John, can we go to the round the clock to international problems, or anything else that you would like to?
Well, there are two or three things of interest. The trade, Bill Everett's trade negotiations with each various country has been going fairly unsatisfactory. The Europeans are going to agree to something probably Monday, not nearly as much as they should. But they're being quite adamant on some things, such as their preferential treatment of other countries. But they will probably do something on citrus, less than they should. They'll do something on tobacco. They say on grain storage, they will do something on wheat, but they claim that they sold all their other grains, barley and so forth, Russia, which is all right if they have. They're going to do nothing on grain pricing. The French are adamant on that score. We may get a whipsaw. The Italians are on our side on grain pricing. And they say that they're not going to give on citrus and tobacco unless France deals on grain. So we may get a whipsaw there Monday. But in any event, we probably will get something out of them that'll be mediocre value. The Japanese
was more than nothing.
Oh yes, okay,
yeah,
yes.
It was at least
more than nothing. The Japanese are going to, we're not going to get all we asked for, of course, but we're going to get a long list of things out of the Japanese that look damn good.
Good.
And I won't attempt to go into it, but a lot of it's verbiage. Some of it's meaningful, some of it isn't. They're going to do away with the tariffs on soybeans completely, but it's only 5%. It's a big item, $329 million in sales last year. By far the biggest agricultural item we had. We'll get something on beef, we'll get something on citrus. We'll have to open up three states that are mandarin oranges. There's a lot of things. It must be 20, 25 items that we'll get some relief on there. We can handle it any way we want to. The Canadians are going to do nothing. Just to completely back up, we'll do nothing. And they just claim that they've got a political problem in 1973, and they just
want to do anything.
We say to them, well, we got a political problem in 72. Truth of the matter is they don't want to cooperate. They're being intractable, completely, wholly unreasonable. And I think we'll start to, I had their old meeting with them this afternoon, and I just told them that was their attitude. Thank you very much. With this kind of attitude, we want us to have any further discussion. We just have to proceed unilaterally to do whatever is in our best interest. And what we ought to do, probably unilaterally, is to fairly soon give notice of termination of the oil agreement. And we ought to reduce our allowances for tourists to the same extent they allow tourism type, which is instead of giving our tourists $100 for an hour 30 days, we restrict them to $25 duty free every 3 months, which is what they've got. And we'll just count them.
Just honoring into a special status under the interest
and the Interest Equalization Act, we ought to appeal that. We exempted them from the goddamn tax at their request. And we frankly just given special deals over the years.
Jobs and...
$60 million.
let this be done in a number of countries that we ship into that. You know, the stories we hear is not your general position, John, but I don't want these markets stirring, and I don't want these central bankers and finance ministers casting doubt. I want confidence to be strengthened as to you do.
They're doing that right now, you just said, and I just said, because of our budget, they're already casting doubt.
I know, therefore, we're dealing with that. The president's message to the Congress on the ceiling, the action you decided to take now, I think, was very courageous, John, on lengthening the debt, putting out a long-term issue. That will help to buy it. And I think all along, we've got to ask ourselves the question, are we building confidence, adding to confidence, removing doubt, putting an end to hesitation and uncertainty?
I agree with you, Arthur. Now, the only point is that we begin with a long discussion, which we need to do here. But let me remind you, Mr. President, that notwithstanding the success that we had in these international negotiations, Great Britain wound up with a trade surplus the largest in the history of the United Kingdom. Japan, for all her problems there, she wound up with a $7.5 billion trade surplus in 1971, and notwithstanding her devaluation or revaluation, she is now anticipating a trade surplus in 1972 of $7 billion. This is enormous. Just enormous. This is equivalent to us having probably a $35 billion trade surplus. Now, our trade problems are not over by a long shot, and our trade is not over by a long shot. Believe me, we're not out of the woods. We're still not competitive, and we're still going to have to deal on a hard-nosed basis with these countries with respect to barriers, administrative barriers, tariff barriers, and otherwise. But we're not competitive. And we're going to run probably another trade deficit for a number of months this year, assured the world. And this is going to hurt us economically. This is one downside on this thing.
Yeah.
And again, I just point this out to you. The common market is now 10, not 6. And they're saying they have preferential trade arrangements with 28 more countries. You're going to see, in effect, you're seeing right now in Europe the strongest economic combine cartels in the world today. The United States is not the biggest, not the most powerful. Europe is right now. They're going to be self-sufficient. They've already made special trade arrangements with 28 countries, and they, in fact, say, to hell with you. This is what everybody's been talking about. We say, we want to protest those, and they say, no, you can't protest. We don't care. We're not going to give one inch on the preferential trade arrangements. So what they're doing, they're building them a trading block that's going to be far superior, far stronger than anything we've got. No doubt in my mind about it. It's happening right now. Now this is all on a different subject, so I won't pursue it.
It certainly emphasizes though the importance of not getting back into any form of
resistance. No question about it.
You can't get in that, and these developments create a crisis for us.
You can't get back until we develop it. A different policy, a different trade policy ourselves, and move.
The difficulty is, State Department has their obligation to get along with all these companies. So they are gonna play a hard line with these folks. And we can't talk out two corners of our mouth, but I have to. I have to not, Truth doesn't mean anything to me. And he, yes, he's all love and kisses at the moment, says nice things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we must remember that he's doing it for a very selfish reason, which I totally understand. He's in deep trouble because he's played up to proceed, and now he's got to play up to me, you know, play up to the U.S. in order to balance. We're delighted to cooperate, but Jesus, if they just say, you know, up your tail, you can't do it. You can't let them do that. We'll see.
That's probably the night, Jeff.
We had a nice tail.
They're gonna get the ball.
are created. They are created, Mr. President. You ought to see the tables of the correspondence I get.
Look, bankers are panicky people, and they communicate this disease to other people.
That's all I'm getting at.
John, the next speech you make in the bankers.
Make one of your soothing speeches.
Finally,
beyond that, we forget that we always think of Brazil being hand of bone and snakes and jungles, and it has a very temperate climate. You know, it's got millions of acres. It's like the American Midwest, right?
There's
millions of acres. And I tell you, we've been there. There's a country that in 15 years, 20 years, got 100 million, a couple hundred million at the end of the century. And boy, there's going to be something. Those Portuguese work.
Yeah, but it's not funny that they learned the art of good government.
Well, they have the best government at the moment.
Yeah.
In the Americas.
Yeah.
They have at the moment. Not by a good government. Their good government is a lot different from what our people here would want. As I told the Dutch Prime Minister, I said, well, then you could understand that the Latin countries need, as I call it, the French style, the French constitution rather than the American constitution. I said, basically, they need a strong head of state and so forth. The Italians desperately need that. When the Spanish moved from after the period of Franco, they can't go to us an idea like ours for the damn thing to blow up. And the difficulty in all of Latin America is that they have never found a delicate balance. In Latin America, you either have a dictatorship, total dictatorship, or you have just a wild anarchy. And what you need, I mean, the genius of De Gaulle was to find the French, which is also a Latin country. Remember, they had 13 or 14 parties. The genius of De Gaulle. It was not his foreign policy and all the rest. But the genius of De Gaulle, in addition to restoring the spirit of France, was to insist on a constitution that made the president of France in more power than the president of the United States, the strong, central figure, and not whipsawed by these goddamn parties. And that's what made the country go. And frankly, if the Italians had, they're going to have to go that way eventually. But in Brazil, as it moves along, these other countries in Latin America could learn part of that pattern rather than listening to what our good people from the State Department say, look, what you need is our kind of democracy. The kind of, look, we have a hell of a time running our kind of democracy. What can people do who have no other background? Well, that's my speech.
Okay, good luck. See you all. Somebody.